Welcome. You're listening to the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, live from the Fly Fishing Show in Denver, Colorado. Fly Fishing Journeys is proud to be broadcasting live from the event and having great conversations with many of the finest fly fishing and fly tying experts in the world. You can find these podcasts posted to our website, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Facebook. To stay up to date with these and other Fly Fishing Journeys adventures, please be sure to follow and subscribe. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Welcome to the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, and we are coming to you live from the Fly Fishing Show in Denver. I'm so pumped to have three of the intense media guys on the podcast. Phil Tuttle, Courtney Boyce, and Derek Oltheus. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Hey. Yeah. Thanks for having
Super
us.
Stoked.
First, let's give our listeners a brief overview of your backgrounds. Sure. Phil, you've served as a fisheries biologist, a guide, the outreach manager for the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, and a videographer and editor with Intense Media. Phil, can you tell our listeners a little bit about working with the DWR?
Sure. I don't know, almost 10 years ago I started working with the DWR. I worked as a fisheries biologist, and that was an amazing experience. I got a master's degree from Utah State with a fisheries emphasis, and that really kind of drove, you know, my passion for fishing and fly fishing. And, you know, they say you become most passionate about those things that you know the most about, and that was definitely the case with me. And I was working in the kind of the northern region, the northern part of the state of Utah, as a fisheries biologist, and just loving it. And, you know, I kind of became involved with these guys at the same time, you know, as that was going on. And, you know, we started kind of blogging, and we started dabbling in video. We're all just kind of self-taught filmmakers, basically.
Yeah.
And we progressed and started doing film festival a little bit. And so then I had this skill set of video and content creation.
Yeah.
And it just kind of made sense for me to kind of move that direction with the Division of Wildlife as well. So I ended up taking a new job with the same agency, the Division of Wildlife Resources, as what's called the Outreach Manager. I work as kind of a media liaison. I write press releases, and then I do, you know, content creation, so photos, video,
wow,
and, you know, Facebook, Instagram, that sort of thing for the Division of Wildlife. And, you know, it's really cool. I'm not always working with fish. I get to work with fish as much as I want to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really neat because the diversity of the work that I do day to day is just incredible. You know, one day I'm in a helicopter taking video of bighorn sheep in Zion National Park, and the next day I'm, you know, chasing fish. And so it's amazing the diversity of the work I get to do.
It's amazing that your passion becomes your life.
Yeah.
And I think
totally.
That's just like a huge motivation for people, you know, and it's like to go just tackle the world. And that's awesome. You know, I got this text from my son. He's like off to college, the second semester. He's like, Dad, I'm so proud of you doing what you want to do. So that's awesome when you can go do your life, and your life is your passion, and your passion is your life.
Oh, totally.
And now you're integrating that with Utah as well as what you're doing with Intense Media. So it's just all the time.
Yeah.
And your family, tell us a little bit about your family.
My wife, Aubrey, and I have been married since 2005. We have five kids, ranging from 12 years old down to just almost 2 years old, four girls and one boy. So
that's cool.
Big family, yep.
Great. We're going to bounce over to Mr. Courtney Boyce. Courtney is the founder of Blue Halo Fishing Rods. He's a video storyteller. You can find him on the International Fly Fishing Film Festival each year. And he also has a fly fishing TV show on the World Fishing Network called Dirtbags. Courtney, tell us about the show on the World Fishing Network and Dirtbags. How did you come up with that name?
I'm a dirtbag, so I do.
Dirtbags for us is pretty suitable because we've been known to camp and fish and go to areas of the world where modern conveniences are a little sparse.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we're just kind of doing whatever it takes to catch those fish that we're chasing. And a lot of times that means just eating freeze-dried food that's hard and crispy and crunchy and staying up for a lot of weeks and moving our bodies further than and beyond where they should be moved. And sometimes they're, you know, it's hard and it's exhausting, but but I think we've created some pretty good episodes this year.
Yep.
It's been fun to do, for sure, and to kind of just go on these adventures. And that's really why we started doing the media, is to put ourselves in situations and places where we normally wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, places that we don't, in our normal life, wouldn't have access to. And so we try to make them really special. We try to make them places that are all on all of our bucket lists.
Yeah.
Because it's something that we love to do, and you know, it's like a vehicle for us to actually do it.
So to push what's possible.
Yep. That's right.
That's so cool. And we're going to jump into Intense Media here in a few, but I want to touch a bit on the rods, you know, because Blue Halo rods are amazing looking. You have a passion for fiberglass. Can you tell our listeners maybe who don't have as much experience with fiberglass, maybe some of the differences they might feel between a fiberglass rod and a graphite rod?
Yeah, one of the biggest things that people are attracted to with fiberglass rods is kind of the feel that they have. It's a unique feel that is reminiscent to like a bamboo rod. You know, people always talk about bamboo rods and the feel that they have and that they can achieve with that. But we started back, you know, a lot of years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, selling rods as a company because there was a need in the industry. No one was really doing it, and we really liked the feel, and so we kind of brought that back to the masses. And since then, you know, you see them, they've gotten really popular. Every main rod company's got a fiberglass rod out there. There's a lot of great rods, and a lot of people are being exposed to the goodness of what glass has to offer now.
That's awesome. And how long has Blue Halo been in existence?
We've been doing Blue Halo for like 8 years now.
Wow.
We've been selling rods for, I think, 6 or 7 years
wow.
now.
Wow, congrats. That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun road.
And how did you come up with the name?
It was a series of, like, you know, 100 different names on paper.
Right.
And Blue Halo sounded good. But it refers to specifically like the halo on a brook trout's spots, like around a red spot on a brook trout.
I love that
blue halo that goes around it. So
my favorite fish.
Yeah,
they are pretty.
Lots of people love brookies.
So cool.
So that's where it came from.
And certainly needing no introduction, you've heard him on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast before, Mr. Derek Olthius. Video editor and photographer, marketing genius, and big fish slayer. He represents companies like Buff and Orvis and Blue Halo and the American Museum of Fly Fishing. Derek, I have to check in on your son, Leo, because the last time we talked, you and your wife were debating on whether your newborn son was going to be called Leonidas or Leo, and I heard you lost that debate.
I lose all the debates. You just got to choose your battles.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I guess it just didn't work out.
So tell us about why you were so fired up about Leonidas. I know we've heard this on the podcast, but tell our new listeners what Leonidas actually means.
So I am big about power names.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to name my kids something, I want there to be a meaning behind it. Not just, oh, that's a really cool name. So for me, Leonidas, if you don't know, was the Spartan king who took essentially 300 of his best warriors and whoever else would follow him and went to tackle a Persian army they said to be up to 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, in this day and age where there's so many people fighting against the Constitution, what more powerful name than Leonidas, who against any odd would stand up for what was right, who would not be afraid to do what he thought was right against any army, any force, you know. So I really wanted that powerhouse name.
And you got Leo.
I got Leo. Compromise.
Compromise.
But I did tell her, I don't care what you say, it's Leonidas to me. Yeah, he will know. He will know that he was... It's Leonidas.
And and we talked last time, and I said I think Leo is going to be the next in the fantastic group here of superheroes. And he was. I was right. I was a prophet. He was in the movie last night.
Yeah.
He was still in your wife's belly, but he was in the movie.
Yep. Yeah, he is always out and loves fishing. And, you know, one of his first words actually was fish.
That's
I
so
think
cool.
It was mama, dada, and fish were his first three words.
Now, did I get this right? Was your wife in a water master?
She was.
Pregnant in a water master?
She was 1 week before she gave birth out there in a water master.
That's amazing. If that is a huge like win for water master right there. We're going to get that on picture.
I have film of it, and I have some pictures The day before that, actually, we went out and were cruising around, and we were out in the Water Master together. We put the boat bottom on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just out there cruising around the
river. That's so cool. Well, before we go any further, you know, because I want to go back to the beginning, the Arctic Unicorns. But before we go any further, I have to congratulate you guys on your win. It was just recently announced. Seriously North won the top selection of the film festival last year.
Yeah.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
So thanks, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
And people can actually go back and watch that on YouTube now. I actually just watched it again last week because it's released now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So just Google Seriously North, Intense Media.
Yep. It'll pop up.
Cool. Well, let's go back to the beginning. So, Arctic Unicorns, why don't you go through and maybe, Phil, you can kind of tell us a little bit about how that film came together, where you went, and what went into that production.
Sure. So, we just, you know, we've said this over and over in all of our films. There's kind of this theme in at least most of our films of char. We just, we really like char, and, you know, there's several species of char. And for us, we're kind of always looking for that holy grail type char. And, you know, you take Dolly Varden in particular, and you tell someone you want to go catch Dolly Varden and target Dolly Varden, and people kind of think that's weird. Like, why would you go target Dolly Varden? Those are like those little fish that, you know, you're trying to catch big rainbows in Alaska,
right.
And you've got to keep taking these, you know, 15 inches off your hook. And, you know, but after a lot of research, mostly by Derek, we realized that there are some northern strain dollies that just blow up to just huge, like,
wow.
Just unbelievable, beautiful, just honestly, like, probably one of the most beautiful fish in the whole world.
Yes.
You know, at least to us, you know, I mean, to each, you know, each person has their own passion, but for us, that was one of those fish that we have to catch no matter what.
Yep.
And so it was just, you know, diving into the research, like I mentioned. Derek was on the phone with biologists. I was on the phone with biologists. I was a fisheries biologist at the time. And we really were just trying to figure out where these fish were going to be. We just figured it out. We flew up there. And you know, ironically, when we met with our pilots that were going to be, like, flying us out to where we wanted to be, we told them where we wanted to go. And they basically told us we were crazy.
Insane.
And if we went, that we wouldn't catch them.
And
they tried to convince us to go somewhere else.
Wow.
Where they said, you know, you'll catch dollies, you won't catch maybe the size of fish you want to catch, but you'll catch tons of fish. And, you know, we made it clear to those guys, like, that's not what we're about. Yeah, we want adventure, and we're pretty sure these fish are going to be out here somewhere, and we want the big one. You know, we want that fish that's a step above. And so we went for it. It took some looking, but we found him, and, you know, we caught some dollies that were, I mean, how big, Derek? We caught some 33-inch.
Yeah, you got one that was 33 and a half, I think was, or two. You got two that were 33 and a half.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
But it was
big dog.
What's the setup for something like that? What type of flies?
Big colored streamers. They seem to, you know, get jazzed about something that's pink, purple,
right.
Blue, white, you know, anything that's flashy and colorful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you running like a straight line leader or tapered, or are you just like sticking some mono on there and ripping?
Kind of all the above.
Yeah, kind of all the above, depending. I personally like just a 8 to 10 foot kind of section of Maxima.
Yep.
Just
straight line.
Real heavy, you know, something 20 pounds that will turn over a big fly.
And that's, that's something that we're really big on is, you know, you go to, you know, on a trip of a lifetime, you find, you know, you happen to find that fish of your dreams, and, you know, you got to do everything in your power to not lose that fish.
Yep.
And we're really big on fishing overly heavy, you know, overly heavy leader, overly heavy hooks, you know, so that we don't botch that up.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know, because I'm like, these guys never lose fish. I mean, I'm trying to get the fish in the net and he's gone. You know, maybe you guys don't have that problem.
No, we lose fish.
Oh, yeah,
ask Courtney about it. Seriously, North.
That smile I'm seeing on your face right now, I didn't see it.
It's actually pain.
It's inside. Yeah. You can still feel it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like when you lose a fish like that, it's just like hunting and you shoot a monster buck or a bull or something. Like, you never stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
You never, like, there's almost not a day that goes by where you don't feel like, what could I have done differently to make that not happen?
Yep.
Because it, like, emotionally, like, destroys part of your soul.
You guys are far away, you know, and there's a huge fish on the end of the line.
And it costs, a lot of money to get up to those places, and you obsess about it for a year in the planning and everything. And then when it does happen, like, if you botch it, like, it's hard to let that go.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the hidden. Iceland?
Iceland.
Yeah. Iceland. What did you like about the trip to Iceland, Derek?
Looking back, I think probably one of my favorite parts of the trip was just spending time. We were there for 2 weeks as a group. Super fun to be there with everybody, like Spencer Higa. And the guys at Fish Partner were just a blast to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Gunnar is the nicest guy. So fun to get to know him. And then you have Christian, who is the total wild card. You know, they're complete opposites. And we'd be driving around, and we ended up coming up with this game to see how often we could get Christian to get so crazy into dancing that he would take his shirt off. So we'd be cruising around, we'd get some techno music going, and all of a sudden you'd just see Christian, like, dancing, getting to the beat, and then he would just reach over, pull his shirt off.
Oh, boy.
And you're just like, what the heck is going on here? We're just dancing in the car. So we had a blast with those guys. They're just good, good people. And, you know, of course, we went to catch big, wild, native brown trout.
Yep.
And we had a couple of days that were just unreal. The fishing switched on, and, you know, we were catching 30-inch browns left, right, and center. But, you know, overall, just developing a friendship with those guys has been just
amazing.
It's
the experience.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In the landscape.
Oh.
It's just moonscape.
Yeah, it's unreal. You just, I don't think there's anything else like it.
In the world, yeah.
Yeah, you're driving around. And there are waterfalls of, like, absolutely everywhere. Huge waterfalls, you know, like, that you would drive hours across the country in the States to see this waterfall. And they're just everywhere alongside the road.
Every mile.
Yeah, every mile. Like, in places that you wouldn't think that there could possibly be a lake or whatever enough to support this gigantic waterfall. And then you all of a sudden you drive another few miles and you're in a moonscape.
That's so cool.
It is weird.
Yeah. The crazy thing about the waterfalls is, like, you see something like that in North America or, I mean, even South America for that matter, you're like, oh, that's a beautiful waterfall. But in Iceland, you actually walk up to that waterfall and land a 30-inch brown in the pool below it. Like, what the heck?
Where it should be.
Yeah, right where it should be. Yeah, exactly. Like, that literally happened.
That's,
you know,
so cool.
Just mind-blowing, you know? Not only is there this, oh, my heck, look at this waterfall, but look at that fish. You know? It's crazy.
Would you say that's, like, an experience that, like, you guys are doing all these, like, awesome stuff, but, you know, maybe the average Joe may not be able to get to, like, the north part of the Arctic, you know, with helicopters and float planes and water masters and just multi-days down a river. Would you say, like, an Iceland trip would be kind of like a really good adventure that's still very doable for the average person?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really not that expensive, because brown trout aren't necessarily the fish that most people target when they go to Iceland. It's usually, you know, salmon, and that is super expensive. But you can get flights for way cheap to Iceland, especially if you plan them out a little bit. You know, for $300-$400, you can get over there, like a round-trip ticket. And then you get a hold of Fish Partner when you get over there, and they can set up, like, DIY trips where you can just go out places and you don't need a guide.
Right.
Or if you want a guide, they can guide, you know, as heavily guided as you want.
Yep.
But they can customize those to, you know, whoever the person is over there. So it's definitely doable, and it's one of those places, even if you don't catch fish, it's just so pretty to be there.
Right.
And to, like, see all of it.
Yeah.
That it makes it pretty awesome.
Courtney, how did the idea of this movie, Seriously North, how did that whole thing come about?
You know, it's part of the obsession with Char in seeking the next holy grail. Like, when we were trying to chase Char in Alaska, we were trying to get Arctic Char and Sea Run dollies at the same time, and they weren't really, you know, the run worked out. Like, we caught some great fish, but they weren't as colored up as we wanted, and they weren't, you know, there were a few things lacking there. And so we wanted to, after we kind of hooked a couple Arctic char, you know, the first one that, who was it, Phil hooked when we were up there, Derek? One of you guys hooked one, and I think it was Derek, and he's like, dude, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's like just ripping line out, and we're all like getting every, you know, the camera ready and getting the nets ready. And it ended up being like an 18-inch Arctic char, and we're like, what?
It's powerful.
It's crazy powerful.
As soon as that happened, we're like, dude, we've got to catch these
big ones.
Big ones, yeah. As big as we can. So these guys did the research and kind of found the spot where the biggest ones exist. And there were a few of them we knew, but we, you know, after a lot of research and kind of just got back up there and started putting the pieces together. And, you know, it's not easy. A lot of times people think you just go somewhere and you just go catch fish.
Yeah.
From the films, we kind of try to show that it's not just fun and games. Like, you've got to put in a lot of effort, a lot of time, and blood, sweat, and tears. And
so for our listeners who don't know, this is Nunavut. You guys are in deep Nunavut.
Yep.
And do you go through Yellowknife, or where's your launch points?
Yeah, Yellowknife. And, man, once you're just, like, up there, there's nothing anywhere. And you get past the tree line.
Right.
And there's no distinct landmarks, really.
Right, right.
And there is so much water, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, as you're flying around, there's as much water or more than there is actual solid ground.
Yeah.
There's just lakes absolutely everywhere, rivers and inlets, outlets connecting all of them. And it is almost, it's overwhelming.
It's daunting, to look at, especially from the air, you know, when we were coming in.
Right.
You just is you it look all and you're like, there's no way we're going to find a fish in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it all float plane or is it helicopter too?
It's all float plane.
And then walking in water mastering rivers and hiking. And you guys did a lot of hiking.
Yeah, we did lots of hiking with the water masters, where we picked them up and carried them over a little hill to the next lake and cruised around in the water master there, and then picked it up and went over a different hill to a different lake.
So one of the things that Derek and I are talking about in the past is, like, I was getting a little concerned in this movie here because, you know, it was all this buildup and it's going to be these great fish and we're going seriously north, and then we can't find fish. You guys are having trouble finding them. And then all of a sudden the music changed and it was like, oh, fish, but they were lake trout.
Yeah.
They weren't those big char you guys were looking for. And then right at the end, the mood changed, the music changed, and you guys started lifting these huge, beautiful, gorgeous, I mean, the most beautiful fish in the world, I think.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy because, I mean, it was, what, 7 or 8 days in?
Yeah, we were 7 days, I think.
We were like, well, we're making a lake trout film, which is cool, you know, which is fine, but, you know, when we put that much work into to getting that one fish, I'm not going to lie, it was a big
concern.
Man.
But it pulled together.
It happened.
What I said before is, you know, you guys evoke emotion. I mean, a lot of the films are great. I love all the films. But I think you guys evoke emotion. And even last night, you know, as we get into 104 years, you feel it. I mean, your videography and your photography and your editing and the music and the way everything kind of comes together, you feel it. It's like goosebumps. And I think that's what really sets you guys apart. Because, and there's no doubt, you guys have won several of these. And I think it's that emotion that you guys pull out. It's not just the fish porn. I mean, everyone loves fish porn. But it's the story. It's the fishing. It's the imagery. But I think it's the emotion inside.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can connect to that real, because it's real, you know. The emotion and stuff is real with us. Like, we're beat down. Like, we want to die because we're so tired.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can connect to that because it's, you know, that's what a lot of people go through, especially if they're chasing the fish of a lifetime. Like, you got to put that time and stuff in or else.
And life.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
I think that's true. Even, you know, the fish of a lifetime, as Courtney is saying, to a lot of people, the fish of a lifetime might be a 20-inch brown on their home water stream.
Sure.
And the emotion of that is, man, I have fished here for 20 years. I've put in all this effort, and I finally caught this fish, and it, you know, all that effort, all that time that went into it is what makes that fish a trophy.
Yep.
You know, and it's, and I think people can feel that emotion.
Sure.
And, you know, they relate. And my guess is that's kind of what people feel is we try to portray the real side of things when it's ugly, when it's good, but it, you know, it, I think it draws people in.
I need to talk to you guys about your music, too, because the way you guys use the music is awesome, and it's that's a skill. And so we can talk more about that. But why don't we give our listeners, before we close, just a quick trailer version, if you will, of the two movies that premiered last night, 104 Years and then The Road Home. Why don't you give our listeners who may want to come out to see those two films a trailer version of what they might expect in 104 Years and then The Road Home.
Yeah, 104 years is basically a recap of our combined year. We were fortunate enough to go to some really cool locations. Each destination, we thought we were going to have a film out of that specific destination. And due to weather, it didn't really work out. You know, we went to the Arctic. We're in a 60-year rain event. We went to Iceland. We're caught in a 100-year spring. Where they just had rain, snow, wind, like, you know, 100-mile-per-hour winds, blowing cars off the road kind of thing. It was as bad as you could possibly get. I mean, you just really is stupidity to be out in that weather trying to fish because it's near impossible. So we went to Belize, and, you know, we went there in their dry season, supposed to be beautiful, and we might as well have been sitting under a waterfall. It was just monsoon rains, and everywhere we went we just couldn't pull the cameras out, couldn't get a good film together. So we went to Calgary, and if you don't know, the Bow River is world renowned for big brown trout, big rainbows that are willing to come up and eat a dry. And we went out with Josh Nugent, who's an incredible guide, super cool guy, and we got caught in a 104-year snowstorm.
Right.
And it dumped 18 inches overnight the first night we were there.
Unbelievable.
And the river went from, you know, really clean, beautiful, clear river. You know, they'd been having a really good fall, catching lots of good fish. And then, boom, the river just shut down. And here we are on another.
Oh, my goodness.
Another.
Trying to make a movie here.
Yeah.
Just trying to make a movie.
Trying to make something happen.
Trying to make a movie.
Yep.
Oh, well, I have to go over to Courtney here because I know your equipment. You know what I mean? You, like, you spend all this time researching the right equipment and finding the right cameras and shoot all this video, and you lost a camera. I almost got, like, a stomach ache for you last night when I saw you lost your big Sony.
Yeah, we lost our big dog, which makes all the magic happen for us. And it really wasn't. We took it out for just a little bit to get the film that we did get, and we put it away, and we didn't. It didn't seem to be that wet. We didn't get that much moisture on it, we thought, but I think the combination of the cold and the moisture just.
Something bad happened.
Yeah, and she was just dead. So we just had our smaller kind of backup cameras, and we kind of tried to finish the job, and we put the Band-Aid on it, and it worked a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it just the same thing. Like, that film was not destined to happen.
But it happened. What happened at the end, Phil?
Yeah, we threw one more, you know, trip together.
One more trip in there.
Yeah, one more trip in there, and we
found some big brook trout.
Yeah, they're actually splake.
Oh, those are splake. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So that's a hybrid
brook trout.
Yep, exactly. And so we got into some big splake and ended up somehow getting enough stuff to make a film.
They were huge.
And yeah, they're pretty.
Awesome. Those are gorgeous fish. Yeah. Yeah.
Back to the char theme, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, good stuff. Why don't we give our listeners a way to find out more information about Intense Media? Maybe how to get a hold of some past videos. What would be the best resource for them to check out?
Courtney?
You could check out our YouTube. Just type in Intense Media. it's pretty new to us. A lot of our stuff, like the TV episodes and stuff, we can't put on there because they're on the network. A lot of the media that we've done in the past can't be put out there, but we've got some stuff on there, a couple films and stuff, and it up to kind of watch on there. And enjoy yourself.
Yep. Now Seriously North.
Seriously North.
Yeah, Intense. Yep. Intents.
Good.
Intense.
Court is at Blue Halo Gear on Instagram. I'm at Derek Oltheus. Phil is at Phil Tuttle.
Yep.
So IG.
Yeah. IG Instagram. Is a good one.
BlueHalo.com.
BlueHalo.com.
Check out some glass.
As you're talking about the road home, we can't leave out Gilbert Rowley, who was, you know, partnered with Phil in filming the project.
Yeah, why don't you, we missed that. Why don't you tell us a bit about the road home before we close?
Yeah, so when we won the festival last year, the film festival organizers kind of made a new bonus, if you will, for winning, and that is we have the right of refusal to, you know, first right of refusal to their contract to do what's called the IF4 original film.
Okay.
And so the owners always have a film in the festival. It's actually not part of the voting, so it doesn't get voted on. You know, it's contracted by the film festival organizers, you know, Chris Bird. And
Flat Fusion.
Yep, exactly, Flat Fusion. So we took that project, and myself and Gilbert Rowley actually went up, and we shot it together.
Cool.
And, we put together the IF4 original for this cycle. So
that's
it turned
awesome.
Out cool. So.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Don't let him undersell it.
Guys, it's been such an honor to have you here. Intense Media, check them out. Thanks for being on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. And I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thanks
for having us, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.